Good morning. It is good to see you all here. Good looking crowd. And I want to reiterate happy birthday to those that are celebrating birthdays this month. Boy, what a... I won't say my poem, though. Normally, when folks are a little older than I am, I've always had that little notion to say, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm laughing today because I'm younger than you. So, but I'm not going to go there. But all right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Verse 35 is going to be the main focus, but I'm going to read verses 30 through 36. So Psalm 18, we're going to read verses through 36, and the main focus will be verse 35. I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, and if you're able, as I read from God's Word. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me up on my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation and your right hand upholds me and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me and my feet have not slipped. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your word. God, today the main message of this is about your grace and how great, marvelous that grace is that you have bestowed to us. And we're thankful for it, Lord. And God, may the words we've read, may we feed on them and let us meditate on them and let your word grow inside of us. And Lord, we pray that God, as I preach this message today, that every word, Father, would come from you through your Holy Spirit, and we give you all of the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So I titled this message, Lifted by God's Grace. And a lot of people have asked, well, just what is God's grace? God's grace is this. It's the unmerited, undeserved favor, love, and kindness of God towards humanity. It's freely given to every sinner rather than the punishment they deserve. We have been given God's love, His power, His salvation, and His forgiveness for our lives. Now, grace is one of the greatest things that you and I could ever receive from the Lord. And when I think about His grace, I don't know how many times I've told the Lord, I'm not deserving of it. Because when I look at myself and I look at my faults and my failures, well, I'm going to be inclined to say something negative. I'm going to have different perceptions from what the Lord has of me. But when I think about God's grace, when I think about what He's done for us, sending His Son. I mean, you and I are sinners. We have failed. We do wrong against God every single day of our lives. But God's unmerited favor, He has given to us such favor that He sent Jesus so that we would not have to face the punishment of our sins, which would be an eternity in hell. Now we have the shield of salvation, which is God's protection. It's a personal shield. David had acknowledged God, not his own armor, as his protector. And I want to elaborate on this a little bit. I think every Christian person sitting in here today, every one of us, starting with me, We should always acknowledge God as our protector. When God put you in this life, when you became a Christian, there's a lot of us who got into the Christian life, and some of us may have gotten this misconceived idea that now I'm a Christian, my life is going to be wonderful. My life is going to be perfect. My life is going to be just rosy pathways. That's wrong. When we become a Christian, we should put God first in our life, and we should put God before us, because God is our defender. God is our shield. God is our refuge. God is our He's our strong tower. And we can always go to God. And that's exactly what David did with his life. David realized that his life was not rosy at all, but he knew that if he abided in the grace and in the protection of the Lord, he knew that his life would be protected no matter what the situations are. And you and I are going to encounter things in life that are not fair. We were having a talk this morning on the way to church, and I said, you know, it's funny how we can get our eyes off of God, and we can look at situations, and we can make mountains out of molehills. And then we'll turn to God, and then we'll start saying, God, well, why am I having to go through this? Why am I having to deal with another mountain in my life? And a lot of times, God is saying, well, I don't see a mountain. I just see a nice flat place that you could have walked on across, but this is what you created. See, when we get our eyes off of God and we start looking at the situations around us, then we become bitter. We lose our joy. We start to lose our way. We become blinded by the things of the world. Now, when Peter wanted to walk on the water, what did Jesus tell him to do? Jesus said, come. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk across the water. But what happened? Peter got his eyes off of his shield, off of his protector, and he started to look at the waves that were rolling around him. He started to focus on the storm, and when he did, he started to sink. His refuge in the storm kept him safe, but when he took his eyes off, then he started to fall. And there's a lot of times that you and I are going to be placed in certain situations that we did not expect, but it's our reaction that depends on how God moves. Now you look at Joseph's life. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was treated so unfairly. But did Joseph sit around and fold his arms and have a pity party? Absolutely not. Joseph put his eyes on God. He put his faith and trust in the Lord, and he abided in the Lord. Now, the situations, if we read them, we would say, boy, that's just so wrong that Joseph had to go through that. He should have been treated so much better. But I don't think that was Joseph's attitude. I think Joseph served the Lord with a glad heart, even though he was being treated unfairly. But guess where Joseph ended up eventually? Joseph ended up in a palace. So you're going to be put into situations in life, and what's your reaction going to be? Are you going to put your eyes on God, your protector, your defender? Or are you going to look at your situation and whine through it? That make a lot of sense to folks this morning? Does to me. I can't tell you how many times I've sat and whined about my situations to other people, and I've done it to God. Now, I've had other people go, oh, my word, not again. Do we have to hear this one? Now, God, I'm thankful that God never turns his back on me. So if we got something to whine about, take it to the Lord. Really. You can voice your frustrations to God. Now, I want to tell you this. God's big enough. He can handle anything. He's not going to be surprised by your situation because he already knew you were going to be there. But here's what God's expecting out of us. God is expecting us to turn to him at those times. And God is expecting us to walk with him, realizing he is our shield and our defender. He is the one who increases our faith. So if you're in an unfair situation, here's what you need to do. Now, don't do it the way that I would do it, God's way. Here, let me say it this better. You ask God, Lord, how do I need to handle this situation? But by all means, you stand up before the world, you stand up before all the unfair things, and you let them know, and you declare who your God is and who you serve. If you whine and complain, everybody's going to point the finger and laugh and say, well, they're supposed to be a Christian, but look at how they live their life. But if we would rejoice, if we would praise, if we would honor the Lord with our lives, I guarantee you our attitudes would be turned around in a lot of different ways. And that's exactly what David did. David acknowledged God. Do you acknowledge God all the time? Do you? What the shield covers, God's protection covers salvation from sin, safety in trouble, and defense against the evil one. God is your protector from the enemy. So, I want to say this in the right way. I've had people come to me, the devil won't leave me alone. He's just after me. And I mean, they're all, and I'm not knocking nobody, but this is the reaction I've seen. I have been there too. I have been there many times. And this is what I've said to folks. Who is your God? Who do you serve? Who do you put the most time in? And that's going to be the outcome of your life. Whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow in your life. So if you sow into God the Father, if you read His Word, if you pray, if you live righteously and obey His commandments, and if you would rejoice, and if you would change the attitude of your heart, then I'll tell you this, God's going to cover you, and the devil's going to leave you alone. But if you make yourself a something out there that the devil can get a hold of, he's going to keep coming after you and keep coming after you. So when we speak negative things, when we have fits, when we complain, when we live outside of God's protection, the devil is going to come after you, and the devil is going to hit you with everything that he has in his arsenal, and he will not let up. And this is the question that I want to ask Christians today. Why are we letting him do it? You were bought by the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood. If there is power in the blood, and we just sang there's victory in Jesus, then we should never come to church, and we should never live our lives outside of this church house with our bottom lip dragging the ground, acting like we've got no hope. Our hope, our sure steadfastness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we would live that, and if we would proclaim that, I guarantee you that the devil would find somebody else to go pick on. If you look back in the New Testament, you remember how many times the devil came up against Jesus? Now, Jesus did not fold his arms. He didn't kick the dirt. And he didn't go run and sit in a corner and bawl. Jesus turned to Satan and he said, "It is written." Because he was referring to God's word. If we would start speaking God's word over situations in our life, I guarantee you, you will start to see the answers eventually come to the problem that you're having. And that is God's protection over you from the evil one. Taking refuge. God is a shield to those who trust in Him. meaning that we must actively seek His protection. So the moment you get saved, it doesn't stop right there. It's not like, okay, well, I've got my insurance now. I'm good. No. You have to actively pursue God on a daily basis. We have to run after God. You know, I'm going to pick on the guys. Now, guys, when you saw that good-looking woman when you was young and, man, you actively pursued her, you would have done anything to have gotten her attention, to have gotten her love and her affection. You would have done anything for her, right? You would have stopped at nothing. Well, we need to start doing that as Christian people. We need to go after God. We need to actively pursue the Lord, and we need to give Him all of our heart and all of our life, and we need to show the Lord that we truly love Him. And how do we show that? We do that by our acts of service, by how we treat other people, and by the time that we spend with Him. We need to actually, this is kind of funny, a lot of friends of mine had talk about meal prepping, and they like to plan their meals out, and I started thinking about my life, how I'm planning my life out. Well, they're all worried about putting the right foods out so that they'll have a healthy body and lose weight. But I'm thinking about my spiritual life. Am I putting God first in my prep of the day? Am I making God number one? Am I making Him my sole priority? Because I tell you what, when I feed off of what the Lord gives me, I'm already made strong. And I'll praise Him through the day. Now, I'll say this. The other day, I was pretty down in the mouth over the gas prices. Oh, I was mad. I was. I got up and left and saw that gas was $4.79 or $4.99. Man, it just ate me up one side down another. And I started, boy, I'm sorry I ever voted for this prayer. I'm not going to go into all that because I didn't ask the Lord for forgiveness from it. But see, if we look at our situation, it can define our entire day. And my day, that day was pretty much, I just say, wasted. I think Janine told me, she said, I think you just should have stayed in bed. I said, yes. After the day I had, yes, I should have stayed in bed. So see, your preacher's human. I'm human like everybody else. But God's our protector. God supplies every need. And if we would realize that, then we shouldn't have to worry. So the next day, I didn't say nothing, but I heard somebody complain about the gas prices, and I wanted to say, if you just trust the Lord, but then I knew I would have kicked my own self for what I'd done the day before. Let me move on. Secondly, the sustaining right hand, God's power. The power of God's right hand represents God's authority and always active power that holds us up. When you feel like you can't make it anymore, when you feel like you are just so drained, when you feel like that you couldn't pray another prayer, when maybe you feel like you couldn't cry another tear, do you know that all you have to do, instead of continuing to run on in the flesh and run on with everything else of the world, if you would just put yourself in God's presence and say, God, I don't have the power to do this. I don't have the ability to solve these problems in my life. I don't know anymore what to do, but I do know this. I need you. It's okay to cry before the Lord. It's okay to pound your fist on the floor or the wall before the Lord. Don't pound anybody else with your fist, though, please. But if you come to the Lord, and if you will release everything and put it in His care, He will fill you with power. He will cause us to rise up, and He will put us up above. And that's why there's been times that I've been so down in my life, so frustrated as a pastor or even just as a Christian or whatever the situation may be, that I would just have to get before God. And I'll say this, my favorite place, there is a little prayer chapel in Marion, and that's the one that I used to pray at so much. But one time, I was so down. I had a medical diagnosis that a doctor had given to me. And man, it was all over my brain. And it just ate me. I would read medical books on the condition and how worse it would. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Give this situation to the Lord. So this is on a Saturday night. And this is a very true story that I'm telling you. I went to the prayer chapel that night, late at night, went in there, locked the door, and the cross that they had, a cross, actually had a cross just like that with a light behind it. And I turned that light on that cross real low. And I got me a songbook, a Baptist hymnal, and I opened it up and I just started to sing to God. I couldn't pray. I didn't know what to pray. I'd prayed so much I was fed up with it. But I started to sing out of the hymn book, and then I started to cry. And I was so overcome with such human emotion, and as it flooded out of me, I just continued to sing another song. And then I started to pray. And after I prayed, I picked up the songbook again, and I started to sing another hymn. And after praising the Lord for some time, I felt His power just being poured into me and the Holy Spirit rising up in me, giving me strength. And then the Lord spoke to me through His Holy Spirit and said, I want you to go to Larry and Sharon's right now and have them pray for you. Larry and Sharon Wall, two of my dearest friends. Larry's still alive. Sharon's in heaven with Jesus. But I pulled up at their house in Marion. It didn't take me long to leave the prayer chapel when the Lord said go. And it was late at night. This is like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And I pulled up one side of the street. Now they had a house with a half circle drive on the side. I came in one side of the driveway. They pulled in on the other side at the exact same time. That's how cool this was. And we pulled up there, and I got out of my car. Larry and Sharon got out. And Larry looked at me and said, you're here so we can pray for you, aren't you? I said, yes. And he said, the Lord said you were coming. Now, this is how God works. This is real stuff. See, a lot of people don't believe this kind of thing because they're not taught it. It is very true. The Lord spoke to His children back in the days of the Bible. He spoke, but He still speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. But anyway, we got inside their house, and Larry said, what are we praying for exactly? And Sharon said, we're praying for your back, because you was diagnosed with something that's not there. And they laid hands on me, and they started to pray. And just like that, the pain in my back was gone. I went to the doctor to have x-rays and MRIs done, and there was no signs of what that diagnosis was in my back. It wasn't there. That was God. That was healing. So when we come to God and He fills us with His power, it can be healing power. It's His loving power. There's so much power about God. He wants to pour it into you, but here's what you have to do. You've got to open it up and you've got to receive it for you to be filled up. Now, if you keep yourself closed off, He can't fill you. But the Lord, let me tell you this, the Lord wants to do so much in our lives, but too many times we're the problem. We're the reason that we don't receive because we stop that blessing from coming to us. Sustained in trials. When our feet tremble, His power ensures us that we do not fall. God is always watching over his children, the faithful ones, the committed. So that's why I've preached so many times and I've told you that God says, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you, because he's always with us. He's always by our side. Even when he's quiet, he's still there. Sometimes I think that the Lord's quiet because he needs us to shut up, and he needs us to be quiet so that he can actually speak to us. We have victory over our enemies. The same hand that holds us also equips us to overcome life's obstacles. Christians, it's time to shine. It's time to live for the Lord. It's time for your life to have freedom. It's time for you to get rid of the excess baggage. It's time for you to quit relying on your own power and your own strength. It is time for you to live in victory. Victory is right here and right now. If God is watching over us, and if he equips us to overcome these obstacles, then we need to start doing it. Whining doesn't solve the problem, but praise and serving the Lord will do it. It will happen. When David had to go fight Goliath, he was 15, 16 years old, a shepherd boy, never trained in battle, didn't have the armor. They tried to fit him with everybody else's armor, but it was too big and too heavy. And David says, I don't need all that. But here's the thing. Goliath was a problem. He was making a lot of noise, and he scared Saul's army to the point that they were afraid to go out and fight the Philistine giants. They were afraid. But little David, a boy who had no army or any kind of combat training, goes out and says, I will fight this giant. I'll face him head on, because with God, all things are possible. And David took a stone and a sling, but listen who brought the giant down. God brought the giant down. Not David. God brought the giant down. So we cannot say that David had victory. God had victory through David in his circumstance. So that's why I'm saying to you, if he's got the power to help us to overcome, then we need to start living by that power. So we need to tell the devil, it's time to pack your bags and get out of my life, get out of my home, get out of my health, get out of my job, get out of my family. You don't belong there. God is the one that we serve. God is the one that we serve. Now here's the one thing that David really touched on: the gentleness of God, God's character, a gentle strength. God condescends to coach and prepare us for life's battles like a father trains his son. Wow. God's gentle. His strength, he's so caring and he's so compassionate. And what God is saying to all of his children, he's saying, I want you to come to me. I want to show you great things. I want to show you how to do these things. And God is so patient with us. Now, I know there may be some of us that had someone in our life, or maybe people in our life that were impatient. Maybe they were mean and hateful. But I want to tell you, don't focus on that. You turn and you put your eyes to the Father's eyes, and you look at how gracious and loving he is, and I'll tell you what, it'll change every aspect of what you think. It sure will. Now, I'm not going to stand here and go back. I've told you enough about how my dad and mom were, mostly my dad. So I praise God that he placed men in my life. Because see, for the longest time, I didn't like men. I couldn't be around men because of the hurt. But God showed me that just because one person, not everybody was bad.
But God put people in my life to be my mentor, to basically be a coach. And God worked through them to help me grow in my life. And I'm thankful. Oh, I'm thankful for every one of these people. And you know what? There's people God has put in my life today that they're still a mentor and a coach to me. And I thank God for them as well. So during basic training, it's not going to be easy. Has anybody in here been in the military? Okay, Carrie has. Well, you know how military is not fun. Basic training, it's not a cakewalk. And AIT and serving in, it's not a cakewalk at all. It's hard. But I tell you what, those soldiers learn how to fight and they know how to stand. We're soldiers in God's army, and it's time. We're in basic training. Yeah, our flight to heaven is going to happen one day. We don't know when, but while we're here, we might as well learn from the best drill instructor we got, because he loves us and he's not going to run us through anything rough. But in the rough times, he'll help us to grow. See, gentleness makes us great. God's gentleness makes us great. True greatness is not found in arrogance, but in experiencing God's kindness and love, which humbles us. And I'm going to kind of throw this in here too, reflecting his character. As we receive God's gentleness, we are enabled to live with a meek, mild, and strong spirit. Now, I'm going to kind of combine those two together about gentleness and reflecting his character. And I'm going to say something about Joy Sanders. From the day that I first walked into this church, I saw a woman, and then Jean as well, and Effie, and there's others, but I want to reflect on Joy for a moment, because she was a very special, dear friend to me. I won't forget the smile on her face and the kindness. I'm sorry, this is going to be hard, but I saw the love of Jesus in her eyes, and it was radiating from her heart. And I knew that God put two of the greatest people in my life to show me what real joy and love was. Because all Joy and Gene Sanders ever did was they loved on this preacher while I was here. Well, while they were here, I mean, I talk like I've gone on now. But I praise God that there's people like that in this world. And I thank God for Effie. And I thank God for everybody else in this church. You have no idea how much your character, how much it shines. And the things that we do in life every day, it should reveal. We should be reflecting that love. You know, when Effie said this morning that Joy passed away, I was just, wow. I knew it was coming, but I wasn't expecting to hear it this morning. But I was sitting up in my office praying. And I could just picture her before the throne of the Lord with her hands held high and the biggest radiance, the biggest glow. Because you know what? She poured into our hearts and lives in so many ways. And I won't forget the first time Janine and I went to their house. And Joy would just look at you with such love. I better quit. It just is really... I'm thankful. That somebody like that could impact my life and so many others that God placed before me. but we have His love to carry us through. You are strong in Jesus. That's the message I want to get across to you today. His grace is so wonderful, is so amazing, and His love and gentleness is perfect. And all He wants you to do is rest in Him and trust in Him and walk with Him. That's all He's asking. He's asking you to be obedient and to live by His commandments. And He will be the greatest joy of your life. True success in life comes from relying on God and His infinite power. God will always lift us by His might and strength. And God's grace is sufficient for us so that we can live this life. So when the devil starts on you, whether you're at work, whether you're wherever you're at, when the devil starts on you, you remind the devil of his future. You remind the devil that he has no power and authority over you, and you let him know who your God is. You let him know that God is present and his presence is not welcome and he needs to depart. You do that every day, and I promise you, you will start to see a change in your attitude and in your life. Praise the Lord, for he is worthy of all praise because his grace is that good.